Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You know, a picture just, it's almost like depicting one line in a whole story. It can't illustrate the whole story. So you have to be aware that not everything online is an accurate representation of reality, and it doesn't tell you the entire truth.
Everyone's life is always going to be ups and downs. There's never, ever, ever, as much as you'd want it to be, smooth sailing.
Well, we've all been pushed around.
Hello and welcome to It's Complicated, the podcast to help you untangle your relationship with your phone. Left our hearts in the lost and found. I'm Tanya Gooden, and each week I'll be talking to my guests about how they manage the relationship with the tiny tyrant in their pocket. We'll be talking about how our phone habits affect our work, our lives, and our loves, and about what our relationship with our phone might just tell us about our relationship with ourselves. If you want help and you want hope, you've come to the right place. This is It's Complicated. I'm chatting on the podcast this week to influencer power couple, Koshal Beauty and Vex King. With over 800,000 followers on Instagram and 2.5 million subscribers on YouTube, Koshal Beauty's makeup tutorials have become some of the internet's most watched beauty videos. Vex King is a social media influencer, writer, mind coach, and lifestyle entrepreneur. He experienced many challenges when he was growing up. His father died when he was a baby. His family were often homeless, and he grew up in troubled neighborhoods where he regularly experienced racism. But Vex turned his whole life around, and through his popular Instagram account, with over 350,000 followers, has become a source of inspiration for thousands. Vex is the author of Good Vibes, Good Life. So, thank you for having me here in your home. First thing I want to say is congratulations on your first wedding anniversary.
Thank you so much.
This whole year has literally, we've blinked and it's been a year.
It's just flown by.
Yeah. When people say like that the first year goes quick, like, yeah.
We didn't expect it to go that quick.
Not at all.
But you've actually been together 10 years, haven't you?
Yeah. We started dating in 2009. Nine. Yeah.
Which is, it seems like just the other day, doesn't it? It doesn't seem like it
was. We were so young then. And actually adults.
Oh, we're real.
You're really
adults
not that
now.
Old now. But I wonder, because you're a kind of, I've been describing you in the intro as a kind of superstar influencer couple.
Aww.
So in the 10 years, how has that evolved? I mean, when you first met, so that's 2009. I assume there was. Did you think you had a platform or a social media presence?
No, well, I don't even think there was
Instagram in 2000.
No, there's Facebook, and that's how we start initially talking.
But we didn't have plans
to become social media kind of stars
people. I don't even know what to call it.
But it's just found its way. I suppose social media is hard to avoid now because everyone's sharing something online, and I think it's actually a great avenue to share your talents and skills. And that's basically what we've done.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of blown up from there.
And it's really weird because people who don't know that we've been together for so long, they just assume we met through our platforms.
And that's
it's
exactly
like
what I did until I started looking
into.
Yes, yeah. And I found you both of you, you know, talked about your story. But yeah, I imagined you both had these
kind of big followings, and then somehow there was some, you know, way that you connected. So I didn't realise that actually it's...
It was way before that.
Yeah, it was funny actually. When Koshal started growing on YouTube, I was quite silent on social media.
Yeah.
And her subscribers thought I got kind of with her just because.
So when we hear things like that or read certain comments, we just kind of, you just can't help but laugh. Like,
yeah.
Because even though we put ourselves on the internet, and when we say it's literally a snippet, like it's that highlight reel of that day or that moment that we put on, it literally is just that. And although we share as much as we kind of want to, there's so much that we don't share. Like, so much that we don't share.
Well, actually, I was going to ask you about that later, so I'll ask you now. Have you ever had that moment where you've had to sit down and say, this is what we do share, this is what we don't share? Or has that just kind of evolved as you've gone? And have there ever been any disagreements about what you share?
Yeah.
There's always disagreements. I mean, people think we're this, like, couple that just never argues. And, like, it's like, because we're just quite positive people, but we're just like everyone else. So we have...
Yeah, we've had to have the conversation because I think, especially when Koshal started growing rapidly on YouTube, everyone wanted to know about her personal life.
Yeah.
So they were like, can you share more about your boyfriend at the time?
Yeah.
What you get up to? Yeah. And they wanted everything. And Koshal wanted to deliver all these things.
Because I was like, I'm a people pleaser. And I'm like, okay.
But what we've also found is that that can lead you to kind of, not dangerous, but tricky situations.
Yeah.
We've had
yeah.
people that have closely followed our personal lives.
Yeah.
And it's been what, almost...
To the extent of kind of stalking? Is that what you're...
No. Say stalking.
Internet stalking,
yeah,
maybe, but
but not turning up at the door.
No,
yeah.
But like leaking pictures from private events, by following family members and disguising themselves as other people.
Yeah,
this has been
So that bit's quite tough in that sense, but I think we're lucky in the sense that like we've got people in our lives, like my brother, for example. Some people probably don't even know I have a brother on the online.
I hadn't managed to find out that you had a brother. So.
Yeah, I mean, he works for a big company in London, and if he was to be in my content, that could potentially risk his job.
Yeah.
So, and my niece and nephews, so Vex's sister and my brother, they both have two kids each. I don't want to put them on the internet, let alone their parents, whatever their parents want to do. I don't want to put them on the internet. They're too young to have a choice in that. So there are so many things that we keep private.
And when you expose yourself online, you're almost asking to be trolled to some extent, because it's this freedom of speech. So if we put our nieces and nephews on, you know, people will say things about them. And when they're old enough to start reading these comments, it's going to affect their mental health.
I think my thing is that people can say whatever they want about me, because... I mean, although sometimes it does affect me.
And it is tough.
And it is tough. Whatever. Like, I can get over it. But if someone was to say something about my husband or my mum or my best friend...
It's different, isn't it?
I would be the first person to be like, who do you think you are saying so-and-so about my best friend? And you would get defensive because it's the people you love. And instead of inviting that, we've just kind of kept things quite minimal. Every now and again, like, I've done a video with my mum where I did her makeup for Mother's Day. But she wasn't doing any talking in it. So our conversation was left whilst we were filming. And I just did a voiceover on that. So she wasn't subject to anyone going, why did you do this? Or, why, you know. And that makes me feel safe. And it makes me feel happy. And I think our mental space and the energy that we keep around us needs to be as high as possible. Because otherwise it can affect you in so many more ways than just personal life.
What you share is going to be prone to attack. So what you don't share... won't be attacked necessarily, and that includes the people you love.
So that's the important stuff, the stuff you don't share, probably.
Yeah, I mean, like when we got married, for example, we had a no phones rule at our wedding.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And that was really important to us because we spend so much time online, creating content, sharing content, and we just wanted people to actually appreciate the moment because we knew, even if you go to concerts these days, people record or live through the concert through their phone.
I mean, I've done it.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
And you know, there's lots of evidence that actually if we're looking at something through a phone, if we're videoing it or photographing it, we don't remember it as much.
Yeah. That's so true. You're not in the moment.
Yes, yeah.
So we had this rule at our wedding and
were people surprised by that? Did they think, you know, oh, you two of all people would...
Yeah, I mean, I think
Our closest friends understood completely straight away.
Yeah.
It was probably the older generation. Yeah. Why can't I have my phone?
Because they've just got to grips with Facebook now and Instagram, and they wanted to share stuff and be like, oh, I'm at so-and-so's wedding. And
or like, look at my outfit, or look where we are, or look at the setting of this event. So it that for us was like a big moment in our lives where we took a real stand. I mean, we've seen other people's weddings. They've had hashtags. They've, like, made it a virtual thing.
They're, I
like,
see hashtags for weddings all the time on Twitter.
And we've just kind of thought, do you know what? We, like, we spend majority of our work life and just life in general on social media and on our phones. Why not for 1 week? Leave your phones in your room, come to our events, and just enjoy.
Enjoy real emotions. I think you can't attend to two things at once, a screen and real life.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be paying like half your attention maybe to your screen and then half to real life.
Yeah.
So just put the screen away and enjoy what's in front of you and embrace the moment.
Yeah. And it's really weird because I did pretty much no content around my wedding up until the wedding had happened. We'd come back from our wedding. It was about a week and we went, let's just tell everyone we got married.
Mm.
So it was such a nice...
So you had that special time.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because people were apparently, according to something online, saying that we split up because we went quiet.
Because we just went quiet and we weren't talking about our wedding and we weren't talking much about each other.
Yeah.
And in actual fact, we were trying to pack our lives into suitcases, into like, I think it was like 8 or 9 suitcases, like big wedding outfits and doing all of that. Whereas... you have people
because Asian weddings are big events, and it's not just one day; it's the whole week.
It was like a full. It was. I think in total we had 7 events for our wedding.
Fantastic. Yeah, I've seen the photos.
Well, so that's amazing. Another thing. So, like in terms of the photos, there are so many photos that we haven't shared.
Yeah.
Because we want those to be special to us.
Mm.
And we didn't. We never got married thinking we're going to have a viral wedding, and you know, this is going to happen, X, Y, Z is going to happen. We just wanted to share with our followers that these are little snippets of our events and this is what we did. Like, if it inspires you to do similar things or whatever, like, go for it. But we did not have an intention to kind of, like, make it this big thing.
I think sometimes people do try and commercialize, almost kind of profit from their events.
Yeah.
Because they want to go viral, or they want their likes. And almost it's almost an act of validation, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's such a business nowadays, Instagram, that people make their full-on lifestyle, including such things as like your wedding, a business transaction. Yeah. So
everything's monetized.
Yeah. And I think for us, we're so happy that we paid for everything for our wedding. We didn't ask for any freebies. We didn't ask for free outfits. We didn't ask for anything free. We were like, we are happy to give the suppliers and brands and companies that we're working with, like photographers, videographers, vendors, etc., we're happy to give them the platform and say, these are the guys that we worked with, rather than doing the whole, I scratch your back, you scratch mine. Because it was like, it was one of those situations. I even asked my manager, I said, is there any way that we could maybe get like, I don't know, L'Oreal or just someone to do my hair for my wedding or something like that? And they said, absolutely, like we can get some brands who'd be more than happy to help you, but you've got to make a decision. Do you want to be worrying about posting?
Yeah, on your wedding. Yes,
freaking out and stressing out, or do you want to enjoy it? And when they said that, I was like, that answered the question for me. But I think it's difficult getting a balance, isn't it? Of like, how much do you share and how much do you not share? Because otherwise, you get stuck.
I was going to ask you because I found a tweet from you, Koshal, from 2016. Isn't it awful when people bring things up from 3 years ago? When you said, I can't live without my phone. It's like my third arm.
Yeah.
So I wondered, do you think things have changed since then? Do you think you did feel like that then and you feel differently now? Or, I mean, because you sound like you're much more able now and want to switch off. Do you think you went through a bit of
so much, I think
I was really lucky in the sense that I started my Instagram, YouTube, social media career, if you want to call it that. It sounds really weird saying that. But I started that when I was in my mid-20s, I'd say. And now I'm in my early 30s. And like, people change.
Yeah.
People evolve.
You
grow. And when I was in my mid-20s, I was always on my phone, always this, always that, taking pictures, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm like, there is more to life than just being on social media. I want to show my followers that there's a healthy way to it is that be balance, on social. Literally.
Yeah. Because I think people grow an attachment to their phone and then they get all this stress and anxiety. Mm. And then when they actually go on a social media detox, they realise how actually refreshing
liberating it is.
Yeah, well, I found you've written quite a lot about that in your book, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
I really like this quote. Sometimes you have to unplug yourself from the world for a moment so you can reset yourself.
Yeah, mm. And it's so true. And even I've done it myself. I think it was like a month ago. I released the book and then suddenly, you know, I started getting all these companies and people writing to me. They saw like money signs and they were like, do you want to do this? Do you want to do that? And I almost felt like I had to like sell myself out just to progress in my career. Mm. And I thought, I don't want to almost sell myself out. I wanted to stay true to myself. And I just disconnected myself completely off social media. Took a week out and everyone's like, oh, what's wrong with you? Are you okay?
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
That's so sweet, though.
I was going to say, on the one hand, that must be annoying, but then also that is really, you know, lovely to think that your community are worried about you. They care about you.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really nice, but I felt so good coming back. And I felt like I had more to offer once I came back.
Yeah.
So I think it's so important. It doesn't matter if you're an influencer and you've actually got a career that's based on social media, it's okay to take a week out. It's not going to hurt anyone. It's not going to hurt anyone. And I know the algorithm likes you posting consistently and constantly. But I think that's what these apps are designed for, to keep users on.
So you've got your daily messages, though, that I've been following on Insta. So what did you do when you were off for a week? Did you just schedule those?
No, I stopped.
You start, and that's how everyone noticed.
Yeah, that's how they noticed. Because a lot of people rely on these daily messages.
Yeah, I love them. Yeah.
But yeah, I just stopped it completely. I stopped posting online.
Yeah.
I didn't like any, I didn't even open the app.
Even, it wasn't just Instagram, but it was like WhatsApp. It was
Facebook, WhatsApp as well, Twitter. And I said to my friends, I said, if you want to speak to me, call me. I know it's a weird thing.
But while you were doing that, Kosha was still online doing that. So how does that work then? How does that dynamic work if you're at home and you're not on social and she is?
Well, this was, I think, during the process before we'd moved into the house. So our time was kind of split.
That was a lot easier. Yeah. How would it work now then? Do you think you'd have to do that together if you did that in future?
Probably not, to be fair. I think we could just operate with one person off and one person on. You know, we eat together, we don't have our phones around when we eat together, when we watch television. Actually, sometimes we do like to check.
We're Love Island lovers, you know, you've got to look at the hashtag and see what's going on.
I think we just carry on as normal.
Yeah. I think sometimes if you put too much pressure around things in life in general, whether it is, how would we work around that and all that? Like, I think for us, we're so fluid in the way that we work that we want to do something, or if someone's thinking, let's do this, let's go here, or let's have a chat about this. We're so fluid in that sense. There's no like real, no, we can't. There's no rules in that sense either.
If she was free of social media, or I was free of social media, that person would have so much more time to give to the other person.
Yeah.
Because we spend so much. So I think it would be evident
that
the other person's got a lot more time on their hands. But then, you know, for example, if I was off social media, I'd probably do all the
admin, like all the other admin stuff that you've got going on.
Admin stuff
and
work around the house and chores and whatnot. So, yeah.
One of the things I really like about how you're both using your platforms is the charitable stuff that you're doing, and obviously the reason I know that you've been together 10 years is because of your charity water campaign. Yeah. So I was wondering if you could explain a bit about that to the listeners and why you decided to do that, because you kind of launched it for your 10th anniversary of being together, didn't you?
So at the end of 2018, we set three kind of goals almost for 2019. They were the three C's, So we wanted to include more creativity, more charity and more connection. So connection was trying to meet people offline, because we have so many followers online, and to us they don't almost seem real until you actually meet them. So we've done quite a few events together this year, and we've actually got to meet people, and it's such a nice feeling to finally connect with these people in real life.
Just have that one-to-one with them. Like, human connection, I find in this day and age is, dare I say it, very rare.
it's diminishing, isn't it? It really is.
But charity was like up there for us. We always like paying it forward. And I think if you've got such a big platform, then do something to kind of improve the world and make the world a better place to live in. But, you know, we didn't want to just start a charity for the sake of it. And we always kind of stay true to our gut. So we went to New York in May and we met Scott Harrison, who's the CEO of Charity Water. One in ten people don't have access to clean and safe drinking water. And there's us on a, you know, on a warm day, we can just pick up.
Open the tap.
So you're trying to raise a specific amount of money, are you? Is that, you set yourselves a target to do that?
Yeah, quite a big target. It's the same as Kendall Jenner, who's a, well, she's not actually a Kardashian, but you know.
But yeah.
So she set a target of $50,000. Actually, ours is £50,000. It's quite a big target, but we like to aim big.
Yeah.
And I think it would make a difference. I think it'd bring 2,000 people clean water. And that makes such a big difference.
I'm going to put in the program notes how people can
donate
to that. I think it's such a good thing to do.
And just to stress that 100% of that money
will go
to building wells and just getting people access to clean water.
And it's even if you contribute just a pound, you know, every little, it's almost like Tesco,
every little helps.
And Keshal, you're also doing something with the Prince's Trust, aren't you, with L'Oreal, and your new lipstick which I just told Keshal before we started recording, I'm actually wearing.
I know, and it looks beautiful on you.
Because I saw your video. So I've actually got to confess two things. One is that before I came to see you, I'd never watched a makeup video.
Hadn't you?
That'd been a whole kind of genre that completely passed me
by.
So I started watching some of your videos and I got hooked. I got absolutely hooked. I thought, I can see why these are so popular.
It's therapeutic in a weird way.
Really therapeutic. Yeah. And I was looking at all the products and I was Googling them. But I saw the one about how you made this lipstick.
Yeah.
And the fact that you said, it's called Keshal's Nude, and the fact that you said it suited all skin types. So I got three girls with different skin types. They all look great in it.
That makes me so happy.
So a percentage of the profits for that goes to Prince's Trust?
Yes, so 50p per sale goes to the Prince's Trust. And the Prince's Trust is a charity that's linked with L'Oreal Paris, and they've basically created a You're Worth It it's not a seminar, it's just like a workshop.
And it's about building confidence, isn't it, in young people, self-esteem.
And it's like it's all about turning your self-doubt into self-worth.
Yeah.
And I've gone and done a couple of, like, I've actually given up my time to go and help at some of these workshops. And it's one of the most rewarding feelings where I was able to give up my time and help young kids and young adults just kind of build that confidence within them. And it's one of those things, it's like, I can talk about things that I love, being makeup. I love talking about makeup. But like, I think over the past year and a half, I've just kind of gone, what more can I do? What more of an impact can I have on people's lives? Whether it's just maybe opening their mind up about something or educating them about something. That for me fills my heart with so much joy and love and happiness. Like that I've noticed, apart from like the makeup and that kind of side, I've got this whole side of me that just, I'm a people pleaser, I'm a giver, like I love doing that. And it's like, I'm trying to inject that into...
Do you think that's why you've been so successful in building up your channel? Because, I mean, I felt that came across actually in your videos, that you were really wanting to help people. And
I definitely think, just as someone, else, not just as your husband, but as someone that's kind of viewed how you portray yourself online, it's no different to how you are in real life.
I think I'm a bit more crazier in real life.
Yeah, you're a bit more crazier. But I think she's just extremely down to earth and she cares about everything she does.
Sometimes I think I care too much about... That's there's always pros and cons, right? Like sometimes it's like I went through a rut, didn't I? Because I was like, well, how can I help everyone? And you were like...
You don't need to help everyone.
And it's one of those things of finding that balance. So that's why we wanted to add charity as one of our three C's for this year and going forward, not just for 2009.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So I'm really interested that that particular campaign with Princess Joss is about confidence in young people. So I wanted to ask you, what do you feel about the criticism that some people have about social media, that it's social media that's causing lack of self-esteem or lack of confidence in young people? How do you feel about that? Do you think it's specific things that are happening on social media? Do you know, are there things you might say to your followers about being aware of when they're using a platform?
I was just going to say, I think awareness is key. It always comes down to the user and being aware of things online, such as, you know, a picture, just, it's almost like depicting one line in a whole story. It can't illustrate the whole story. So you have to be aware that not everything online is an accurate representation of reality, and it doesn't say, tell you the entire truth. But as an influencer, for example, like Koshal, she almost has a responsibility that when she talks about brands or when she talks about things that she's using, that she's talking about things that she genuinely likes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's sharing an honest message as well. So once we were at an event and there was this couple and they were arguing like really badly, almost to the point where they were going to like hit each other physically. And they had to be broken up. And I didn't know who this couple was. And then... but I think it was a few days later, scrolling down my phone on my Explore page, and I saw a picture of this couple, right? And it was the most loving picture. Like, it was like the most perfect picture. And the caption was so deep, and I love you so much. And it was from that night. But if people saw the fight, and you
it's
know...
a completely
like,
different story. Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, goals, I'm so jealous of you guys. I hope I can find someone that loves me this much. But if they saw what I saw... they wouldn't be saying that. So there is that almost responsibility. And this is what we've learned to do is, you know, if we post a picture of us, we will kind of remind people that no relationship is perfect.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen you say that. Actually.
And I have to, I always find, like, especially for me, you know, my page is almost based around inspiring people and empowering people.
Yeah.
And I have to be honest because that's the only way really to get the message across that nothing is perfect in the world. We all suffer, we all go through hardships.
Yeah. Everyone's life is always going to be ups and downs. There's never, ever, ever, as much as you'd want it to be, smooth sailing. There's always going to be things that come your way that, you know, kind of throw you off.
I always think about it like business. You know, how do you know what success looks like? Because you have to know what failure looks like. Mm-hmm. And in every relationship as well, you have to work towards that kind of idea of success in your relationships. And, you know, we met as kids. And, you know, our minds are in completely different places now.
Yeah.
And we've almost had to mature together.
Together.
And compromise and learn each other, understand each other, communicate more. And these things are so important, but they often get lost online because of pictures and Instagram content or whatever it is online.
It's a, I suppose from like, my world is very much beauty, fashion, lifestyle, that kind of genre. And there are so many times where I scroll on Instagram and I'm like, I don't look like this person. I'm not traveling where this person's traveling. I'm not wearing those clothes, or I don't have a body like that. And there were so many times where it would get me down. And I was like, hang on a second, Like, if that's getting me down, I'm posting stuff on my Instagram. Yeah,
and people are looking at you and maybe feeling the same way and thinking, oh, Kosha's got a perfect life and she's beautiful. And
that's why, like, even when I've done, like, captions of, like, Happy Valentine's Day, like, by the way, just FYI, like, we do argue, like, it's... When you're celebrating something like love or like your partner or whatever it may be, I like to recently put into my captions like, by the way, this was, we just argued about what we're having for dinner. Yeah. So just to make it really like, it's not all...
It's a highlight reel, right? So you're going to be posting, you're not going to be posting pictures of arguments.
No.
Because the camera will probably get broken.
Yeah.
it's the new photo album almost, like especially Instagram.
Yeah, and I think Instagram, I think if people saw Instagram as more of a scrapbook... Then they would real life. I think that would be a really healthy way of viewing.
Yeah, that's a nice idea.
Because it's like you're only going to share like
the best
fun
bits.
Memories and the best bits. Yeah, and I suppose like within the whole beauty and lifestyle fashion kind of industry, there are so many images that have been color corrected or slightly sharpened or this or that, or people Photoshop their bodies. Like it's a thing that happens, and I make it very, very clear to my followers that I'm not gonna touch up my skin. I'm not gonna, like, if I have like a piece of hair that's covering like on my face, I'm gonna leave it there, because we're all human, it's real life, and it's just real. And I think if I can do my little bit, and if that helps just one person kind of go, oh, you know what, I can see texture on her skin, that makes me feel good. Because when I wear makeup, I can see texture on my skin. And, like, sometimes I have to actually reply to people, because sometimes I'll get messages going, oh, your skin looks really weird. Like, what have you been doing? Because it's not as nice as it used to be or whatever. And I'm like, well, first of all, my camera equipment has changed. It's gotten better. I try and take as many pictures as I can on, like, a professional camera than I do on my, like, iPhone, so that's going to pick up more detail. And second of all, this is what real life is. It's what real makeup looks like. It's what real clothes, like, your clothes aren't going to be completely smooth and not creased and this and that. And it is that real life aspect. So whenever I see comments like, oh, what's like, why does, what's going on with your skin or what, and I'm like, this is unfortunately or fortunately what makeup looks like when you have it on. And I think a lot of the times with Instagram, people smooth their skin out so much that when...
Face tune's got a lot to be responsible for, hasn't
and
it?
Whenever sometimes I put my makeup on and take a picture, I'm like, oh, but my face doesn't look like... And I'm like, whoa, snap out of it. Like, this, you're falling into that trap. So it's like kind of making sure that you're completely aware of what you're posting.
So because you're very... You are in the beauty industry and it's about appearance.
Yeah.
Has there ever been comments or criticisms about you that have upset you to the extent that you thought, I don't want to do this anymore? Or you, Vex, you know, have you had stuff online thrown at you that's made you think, this is just not worth doing?
For example, I post content to help people.
Yeah.
But because I'm, you know, married to a YouTuber, and her audience can be a little bit different, sometimes they're a little bit nosy in terms of personal life. And I think when they first found out about us, they were like, well, why doesn't he look like Zayn Malik, for example, or why is he like this, or you could do better. And sometimes those comments do make you question yourself, but then you just have to remember that, you know, everyone's just projecting their own insecurities. Mm. If they're judging you, they're probably judging themselves against the benchmark. So it's not personal. And that's what I've learned. That's how I've learned to deal with it.
Yeah, and I think every day is a learning curve, because every day you'll either see something or read something or hear something, and you'll kind of go, oh my God, like, I do that all the time. I can sometimes be quite dramatic and be like, oh my God, I'm not doing this anymore. But, like, in the grand scheme of things, like, I love what I do. But over the years, I've just kind of gone, if I'm mentally not in a space where I want to put myself on the internet, I'm not going to. Whereas before it was like, I need to put out 3 videos a week. But now I'm like, hang on a second, if that's making me feel X, Y, Z. There was a point where I used to get so ill because I used to just be work, travel. There was like no off switch. And every single time I'd come back from like a number of travels and I'd get back home and I know in my head, like, oh, I've got nothing to do for the next 3 weeks, like traveling wise, I would get ill. And it was like a constant like cycle. And I think it's taken me a few years to realize you can take a back step. Like, you're...
So it's not that you've grown a thicker skin, you've just worked out, actually, there are times when it's better for me not to be online or not to put myself
forward. I think you have also grown.
I have grown.
When you first went online, you know, Kosh was really, like, gentle, bubbly, you know, quite almost innocent in my eyes. And then suddenly, you know, she started attracting trolls, which happens when you're you get the exposure. And she was like, oh, why are people so mean?
Yeah, and they would get you. And to be honest, even if you weren't a public figure or an influencer or an Instagrammer or a YouTuber, even if you weren't any of those things and you saw someone saying something about you or you read something or
it would hurt.
Yeah. And also, I think just switching your focus to the people that do actually appreciate you and love you for you.
Yeah. They're the majority, aren't they?
Yeah, they're the majority. Yeah. And also, I think when you like deal with criticism or backlash or whatever it is, and you continue to go on with a smile, you inspire so many other people because they're dealing with it, whether they're online or offline. Yeah. Just maybe at work, for example, they might be getting abuse.
Yeah, yeah, you never know. And I suppose like on my like my platform, I kind of feel like everyone who follows me are like my sisters or brothers. Like they're
your team, aren't they?
And it's like I want to be there for them as much as they are for me. I don't think people realise that what our followers have done for us means so much more than what we've done for them.
But we wouldn't have careers without them.
No.
And I think it's really important to appreciate every single person that's kind
of supported. It's that gratitude, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which you write a lot about in your book.
Yes.
Yes. I've just got three questions that I ask everyone at the end of the podcast. Obviously, that's going to be six questions whether you both answer them. The first one is, what's the one thing that you'd each like to say to everyone listening about their phone and social media habits? Any kind of message that you think it's important to get across?
I think one of them is just don't be afraid to take a break off social media. And another thing is that if you don't be afraid to block people online.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, these people that you sometimes block, they'll be giving you abuse, and then when you block them, they'll carry on and start saying, oh, you're weak. But actually, by blocking them, you're actually doing them a favour.
Yeah.
Because they're getting triggered by your thoughts.
You don't have to listen to them.
Yeah, you don't have to listen to them. So don't be afraid to just, you know, block out the negativity online.
Yeah.
You don't owe anyone anything.
No. I think mine would probably be, don't have your phone anywhere near you when you're having food, whether that's breakfast, lunch or dinner.
That's a good one.
For example, whenever we go out to eat, we try and, like, I make sure, like, both of our phones are, like, in my bag. So that when we're at dinner, we are...
You're focused on each other. Yeah.
Unless we have an urgent email that we need to get back to or we're waiting on a phone call or whatever, we make sure that we're in the moment and it's that one or three times out of the day where you are just phone-free.
Because have you realised it's so much more easier to talk to someone across the world than the person next to you.
Yeah, so true. And another one is something that one of my friends used to do. I think she was doing it for a period because she just was like, I want to zen out a bit more. And that was she had a time every single day. I think it was 9 or 9.30. She would do whatever she needs to on her phone. But from that certain period of time, whatever that time was, let's just say it's 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock, she would just not look at her phone.
Yeah.
And it was like a cut-off point of like, at 9 o'clock, that's it, my phone's over and done with, I'm going to watch my TV, going to have my like tea or whatever, relax. And it actually helps you fall asleep.
I think those really clear boundaries work really well.
They work really well. Yeah. Even in the morning, right? First thing in the morning, don't check your phone. Do something that's going to help your day, whether it's like a visualization, counting your blessings, journaling, meditation, having a little dance, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So we did a little survey online talking about touching your phone in the morning where we asked people if they touch their phone or their partner first in the morning. So I'm just going to do a little straw poll and ask you, are you definitely not touching the phone first thing in the morning?
We definitely kind of give each other
At least a little squeeze or a bit of a good morning.
Before you pick your phone.
Recently, because you've been ill, I usually get up first and I usually just give her a little cuddle and then step out of bed and get ready and then do my meditation.
Yeah, we have like a full morning routine that we stick by. And one of those things is looking at your phone after you've meditated.
Second question, have you got a top tip that you haven't shared already around phone habits? We've talked about first thing in the morning, meal times.
I think just be aware of your screen time.
Yeah.
Are you using the new screen time app? Have either of you looked at it to work out?
I have checked it.
Yeah.
And it was quite high, I think.
Yeah, when you see the numbers.
Yeah.
Because that's where you go, wow, I spent 6 hours of my week last week on my phone, when in 6 hours you could be doing so much more with your life.
Yeah, like, don't get me wrong, you know, we do have, you know, our work is based online, so we do have to commit to time online, but it's that having that balance. And I think sometimes you have to look at numbers like these or metrics and calculate how much of your time you're actually devoting to technology or screens, and is it actually healthy?
Yeah.
And just review yourself. Like, are you in a good place when you're using technology? If you're not, maybe you need to
reevaluate how you're using it, or how you're using it better.
Yeah, or just, again, take that detox and see if you feel better. Because I think, you know, I'm making this up, but 90% of the time, when people are feeling low, just, you know, being away from your phone or whatever it is, you will feel better.
I think it's really powerful hearing that coming from you too, because, you know, a lot of the people that are listening to the podcast aren't influencers, and they're not, you know, their careers are not about social media, and yet they're finding it really difficult to step away. So if you're saying, actually, this is what we do, but we step away regularly because it's good for
us. You have to. I think for everyone's sanity, just to have that kind of, like, peace of mind of, like, no, you know, everything's fine, nothing's going to stress me out.
I just, you know, anxiety's on the rise, like, faster than ever. Yeah. But that's because we're almost conditioned to live in a time frame that's not actually happening. We're looking down on our phones in the digital world and not actually in the real world through our five senses. So we're conditioning our mind to either go to the past or the future, a world that doesn't actually exist. It's only constructed in our minds. That's why it's so important to actually tune into the present moment and just live your life through a screen.
That's why meditation is so important, isn't it?
Exactly. One of my probably top tips, actually, just to kind of, for everything in life, meditation.
Change your whole life, really, didn't it?
Yeah. And you don't use any meditation apps? Because I've talked to some people who are really, really pro using an app, and others who say no.
Yeah, I did use one app because I kind of say it was like 3D binaural beats, and it was actually really good, but I don't actually use an app.
Whereas I love Headspace.
I'm
like a beginner. I still find it very difficult to... I hate saying this, switch off, because you can't switch off. It's just
stepping
calming
back.
Your mind down as well. Like letting, and Headspace, it says, you know, thoughts are like clouds, they come and go. And you've just got to be aware of them, and you've got to let the thought come. And if you know that it's there, you've got to kind of let it go.
I think if you know that the thought's there, then you are kind of, you are meditating. It's that awareness. Having the awareness of that.
And I think nowadays there are so many different forms of meditation. Like, I love just cleaning the kitchen and, like, doing the dishes. And for me, that's my time where I'm literally thinking of nothing.
Yeah, I love washing up, actually. I find washing up a really meditative thing. And I do it rather than putting things in the dishwasher sometimes.
It actually is a form of, you know, I've spoken to so many different meditation teachers. And, you know, I've been told so many different methods. But anything that's done with a conscious state of awareness is meditation.
I think one tip that I actually have is when you're out with your friends or family, and you'll be surprised at the amount of times that people keep their phone on the table when you're out for a meal. So what we do is whenever we go out with any of our friends or family, it's usually me going, right, everyone, give me your phones. I take everyone's phones and I put them on a pile, and I say, whoever touches their phone first, before we finish our meal, is paying for the bill.
And you're surprised that no one wants to pay the bill.
No one wants to be the person that has to fork out.
Especially when there's 10 of us, and it's going to come to quite a bit.
So my last question is, what have you each learned about yourself from the way you use your phones?
I think for me, to be fair, I think I've almost realised that my phone isn't the be-all or end-all. Even though, for example, like, my book has come as a result of social media and my audience, you know, there is a life that exists outside of social media. So although social media has helped me, you know, it's just a tool. It's, you know, it's not something that should compensate for the time in my actual life. So, yeah, I suppose that's what I've kind of learned, I think, about myself.
I think mine would be So before we got married, I would be that person who would take pictures of everything, everywhere, wherever I go, I'd take a picture, like document and keep all these memories. And around the wedding time, for my hen, which was in Portugal, in Lisbon, and our wedding, which was in Mexico, those were two big like moments of my life. And I have very minimal pictures of all those big moments of my life, but I have the best memories.
Mm.
I think people forget how precious life is.
Yeah.
And you don't want to waste it on your phone all the time, right?
I think that's a lovely note to end on.
Oh, thank you.
So I want to say thank you so much to both of you for chatting to me. I'm going to put all your social media handles in the programme notes, but I would say for daily positivity and inspiration, do follow Vex, which is Vex King on both Twitter and Instagram. And for all things beauty, it's Koshal on Instagram and Koshal Beauty on Twitter. Yes. And if you want to support Vex and Koshal with their charity water campaign, the link is in the programme notes. And finally, I want to say, do go out and get a copy of Good Vibes, Good Life from Amazon and all good bookshops.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Thank you for listening to this episode of It's Complicated. If you haven't already, please do subscribe, rate and review the podcast on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. It helps other people find us and it means you get a helpful little notification when a new episode becomes available. For more about getting a healthy balance with tech, you can follow me, Tanya Goodin, or Time to Log Off on Instagram and Twitter. And both my books, Off and Stop Staring at Screens, are available on Amazon and at all good bookshops. Finally, for more information about this and other episodes in the podcast series, visit itstimetologoff.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.